this year. There was a 10U team that was the Eastern Region champions, all the states up on the New England states and the Mid-Atlantic states. We have some teams playing through the Sites League at the at Altoona and over to Sites Fields that got into the Babe Ruth sectionals and regionals and in the World Series. So, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see those guys. I know the local media does a good job of following those guys to keep people in tune, and you know, it creates a lot of excitement.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's an exciting time in general because it's now tomorrow night's the beginning of the Little League World Series and everything that goes on with that in Williamsport. I can tell you one thing. I watched the Nevada team play over the weekend. I watched a couple of games, but the Nevada team is scary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. The kids in the field make moves on the field, and it's like, how many hours have you spent in the field? I mean, they're just that smooth because, you know, you will see different things happen in the field, and it's like, yeah, they're 11 and 12-year-olds, you know, and it brings you back to reality, but not with them. Goodness gracious. And, you know, if they have the pitching, because I'll stand by even in Little League, good pitching stops good hitting.
Yeah.
And absolutely, it's a big part of the game. But that's got to be neat, though, to realize that you have such a group of talent there for baseball. Does that play out then with the high school team as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was going to build off of that by talking about the high school team who, you know, won a district championship this year, beat a couple of WPL teams on the way to the state final game. You know, where they fell in a close game, we were right there in the final. So, you know, state runner-up, state finalist this year in baseball as well, and you know, a good group of guys coming back for next year. So, continue to have a strong, I think, a real strong future in that program.
Yeah, future is bright for baseball at Hollidaysburg. We'll talk a little bit about Hollidaysburg football, but we're trying to this week kind of get people acquainted with you and a little bit more about you as an individual. It was interesting. Nick Felis was our first guest this week, and we talked about take us back. I was just curious because everybody, at some point when they're younger, is bit by a bug that makes them do what they do as an adult. It may get shoved back for a little while, but eventually it comes out. And Nick had said that, you know, his stuff really started back when he was 5 and 6 years old when his father was an official. And in basketball, he would take him out to games. So Nick's initial being bit by the sports bug, so to speak, was back then. But eventually that evolved into, after he played football for a while, then he really liked that. So let's go back to... you know, you just can't believe that when you're on the air, the people call you. You know, that's what that is. So, you know, we'll go back to talking about things in the past, because that's where it happens. Like I say, maybe that goes into the back of your mind. You think, well, maybe I want to do this instead. But it's like, really, you always kind of wanted to do this.
Yeah. I mean, it started for me back in 1982. And even, you know, before that in the backyard, I was the youngest of four brothers. So it was pretty easy. They were high school football players, high school athletes. My brother Dave, who graduated in 1983, played on an undefeated team in the Shenandoah Valley, first undefeated team, you know, one of the best teams there in school history. They had some great players, and I was 8, maybe 9 years old at the time. My dad was involved in a booster club, and, you know, my brother Dave was playing baseball in the summer and in the spring. He was playing football in the fall. He was a wrestler. My brother Chad as well, who graduated in 90, he was a young wrestler, played Little League. We all played 3-4 sports. I played soccer as well in the summer. So it was just always there, I guess you could say, from when I was young, and I just grew up in it. I started wrestling when I was five years old. I started, you know, playing soccer when I was 5 years old. I started, you know, playing football when I was able to. I've been on the sidelines since 1982 because I'm 50 years old, but in 1982, I was able to be a water boy for a couple of those games in an undefeated season. And
nice.
So it was, a great experience from them. And I never left sports. One of my football coaches was a phys ed teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I went right in. It's always, what I wanted to do, what I thought I should be doing. I love people. I love, being involved in sports. So I went into phys ed. I've taught phys ed for 16 years. Mm-hmm. I taught at Glendale High School right out of college, where I went to Lock Haven University, great phys ed program there. I taught driver's ed also a little bit in the mix.
By the way, Ron Rickens led the way in that.
Yeah.
Driver's ed teacher, yeah. Football coach.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I then, I just stayed involved. I've always been coaching or on the sidelines, mm-hmm. Since then. And, I love every second of it.
When did you, at some point you reached that thought? What position did you play in college on the football team?
In high school, I was a quarterback.
Okay.
I played at Machina Valley, graduated in 92. I played cornerback also defensively.
Okay.
In college, I played as a safety, and okay. I was the long snapper. Started there for 2 years in that position. And then my senior year in college, we had a coach that had come in, and previously to that, we ran the run and shoot, so there were no tight ends. So a couple of us on the defensive side of the ball also mm-hmm. went over and played tight end. So I played safety, and then I played some tight end my last year because we didn't have any tight end. So, we took some of the guys from the outside linebacker or safety position. We went over and played tight end. So my senior year, I got to play on offense.
Interesting story, because that dovetails a lot with what Nick told us about, because it was go out there and be a receiver, or I'm sorry, be a defender. Go out there and be a defender. And then eventually he got out there and it's like, this is kind of fun. So he really, because he was a QB too. And one of the things I said to him last night, I think, probably for a football coach, it's a quarterback is going to make a good football coach, because you control what goes on. It's all up to you offensively when you're out there as the quarterback. You know the playbook. You know everything that's in it. Then it's up to you to execute that, or at least at the bare minimum, get the play started.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so you're in control of that situation. The other one that I think makes an outstanding choice for a coach or a manager in baseball is a catcher. Mm-hmm. Because the catcher controls everything. Yeah, the guy that's on the mound gets all the attention, but ultimately you, the guy behind the plate, you control what it is that he's throwing to you. And you control the rest of the game. Like you'll step out and you'll move an infielder around a little bit, or motion to an outfielder and move them. And it's those are two positions that you play that I think always end up being good for a coach.
Yeah. Yeah, the tight end position as well. I mean, some great NFL coaches have been tight ends, because, when you're a tight end, you're involved in the running game and you know the whole running scheme, so you know the run game. And then you're also obviously involved in a pass game. So that position – sort of like the catcher, mm-hmm. they're sort of involved in everything that happens in, relation to controlling the pitches that are thrown, controlling the setup of the field, the fielders on certain down, positions, like who's on base and different things like that. So I think the tight end catchers, guys correlate pretty good to being good coaches, because they're sort of involved in everything that goes on. A lot of times those tight end kind of guys are special teams guys too. So, mm-hmm. You're playing special teams and you're really involved in really everything that goes on.
And when you're in high school, you get that both sides of the ball thing.
Yep.
And so it's, you add everything together. But I think the being the quarterback for any team really gets you prepped for what you will have to do as a head coach, mm-hmm. Because it's as the head coach, you're designing the plays, you know how they're to be executed, and then, trying to get the execution out there. And it's got to be good for you too when you have a quarterback who's buying in to everything, because that's when you can really see dreams that you have realized on the field.
Yeah, and I think poise and character mm-hmm. is a big part of being a great quarterback or a great coach. And, mm-hmm. In general, I think it relates to leadership. you know, you got to get those guys around you to, like you mentioned, buy in, but you got to get them to be confident in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If a play breaks down or someone gives up a sack, you know, for the lineman, or someone drops the pass, or you yourself fumble or throw an interception, you know, those things that need to occur on the next down are, you know, very important aspects of the game.
Yeah.
And having poise and control and discipline, you know, all those character traits is very important.
Now, you'd mentioned Mo Valley, where you'd started out. Were there any difficulties at all getting enough guys to come out to play when you were in high school?
No, I mean, back in the 80s, in 90s, and even into the 2000s, like, Mo Valley football was pretty, mm-hmm. you know, pretty stout. I mean, 7-8 wins a game. Howie Camberg's a Hall of Fame coach. You know, they were, you know, getting off the bus. A lot of times we could win 6 of them, you know, just because of the talent we had most of the time and the, you know, the numbers. Like, we had 40, we'd run 40 guys off the bus, you know, playing in that, you know, small school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had enough for a JV team that, you know, was able to practice mm-hmm. and play a lot of extra games. So, you know, I think that was just, you know, benefits of having, you know, being in a great program where you could have competition for position, not, you know, have just 5 or 6 guys who were out there the entire time. We had 2-way players,
mm-hmm.
Even at the Class A level. So, you know, I think the program itself, you know, was built that way. And you know, we never had an issue with numbers, you know, through those years.
And the population probably stayed up.
Yeah. I mean, we graduated between, you know, between 70 and 80 kids. My graduating class, I think, was 86. I think my wife was down even a few years later, was in the 70s. So,
yeah.
You know, we always graduated in that realm. But you also got to remember, there's no soccer, there's no cross country, there's no golf team. You know, there's football. That's it. And there's football, there's basketball and wrestling in the winter,
mm-hmm.
and you played baseball in the spring. So there was really not many other options,
you know,
at a school like that. So
yeah, no, that's and that's one of the things that I think obviously you really, because there's always this aspect of, and this eventually gets lost, depending on how big, although it's still there, but maybe not as tight as what it would have been at Moshannon Valley, where it's family. Mm. Your team isn't just your team, it's your family.
Yeah.
Because you're together, and year-round, obviously, you're going to play probably at least one other sport.
At least.
Right. And so, you know, since the same guys are making their way around, you know, into the different sports, it really is a family then.
Yeah, you create best friends, you create, you know, lifelong friends. You know, you're there for each other, like all those little things that maybe in a bigger school, I mean, that, in a bigger school, that's there. I mean, I've seen it at a, you know, medium sized school when I was at Corey High School,
mm-hmm.
and in a bigger school like Hollidaysburg. And I mean, I know it's there, but it's different. You're right. It's different because, you know, you have 3 small towns of 1,000 in Houtsdale, Madera, and Ramey, that make up Moshannon Valley. And mm-hmm. here you have, you know, different parts of, you know, Hollidaysburg, you know, Frankstown, Lakemont,
yeah,
in town, yeah. You have Penn Farm. So you have different areas of it in, you know, Duncansville. So it's just a different dynamic, but, you know, you're right. I mean, I think the closeness and the, you know, that part of it was definitely different there.
I know my first trip to Mo Valley, I think it was their new football field, and got there in, I think it was late September. And was following Bellwood at the time. Got there, and it was Field of Dreams, the football version.
Absolutely,
because you
yeah.
looked out across, there's this gigantic cornfield
yep.
that surrounds the football field.
The high school, so yeah.
You're waiting for players to come out of yep. the corn and play.
Yeah, and it doesn't smell too good up there. And growing up, I grew up right by the high school, so you know, there's always that, Prislak's Farm has always had that stench.
Yeah.
You know, you always... Yeah,
got to fertilize the ground.
Yeah. When I was in high school, we played in town in Houtsdale, in one of the most historic towns. Hilltop Stadium was the name of it.
And, mm-hmm.
you know, it was a tough place to play. You know, you walk in the gate, you know, when the opponents come in. And when you come in, there's a small locker room off to the side. And then there was a bleacher set. And then there was a big hill where all the fans sat and where the press box was located. And it was a pretty cool historic stadium.
Yeah.
That is, then they built the one out by the high school. But yeah, I played at Hilltop, and it was, you know, an awesome, awesome opportunity, great atmosphere, you know, in the 90s. And I got out of college in 96. That team went to the national or the state semifinal, lost to Southern Columbia. Lost to Farrell, who then lost, beat Southern Columbia in the state final. So they had a great team that year. So a lot of good memories up there, and, you know, a lot of good coaches, a lot of good mentors for me as a coach. Jerry DeLucia, who just passed away, was a great influence as a teacher coach. Howie Kamberg is still up there. Just saw him at a Curve game a couple weeks ago. It's always awesome to see him. He's still in town helping run the Booster Club and stuff like that.
So. That's good. Yeah, it definitely gets in your blood. We'll talk a little bit more about the college experience and then making the transition into becoming a coach. And now you're an athletic director and you kind of do it all. So we'll get into that after we take this time out. It is just about 20 past four. You're listening to Sports Central. Corey Geiger is the guy that's normally here. I'm Dave Shannon. And J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars brings you this particular program. And also, it's brought to you in part by Pleasant Valley Recreation Center, Mike's Sports Shop, and Mattis Motorsports. More of Sports Central right after this on 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM.
Great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
At ShoeFly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into ShoeFly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. ShoeFly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of ShoeFly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeFlyStores.com. Your feet will thank you.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Hank FM.
Welcome back to Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger this week. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. And joining me in studio is Homer DeLautre. He is the head coach and the athletic director at Hollidaysburg High School. We've been going through trying to get acquainted with what kind of gets you started into part of your life where you adopt sports and you continue on with it into your adult years, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting to hear your story so far. We kind of stopped there because we spent a good bit of time, and rightfully so, with the with your time at Mo Valley. Then you move on to college, and you spend time at Lock Haven. And what was your major when you went there?
Health and phys ed.
Okay.
Driver's ed, cert. I took some credits in sports and management as well.
Okay. All of which came into play then when you became athletic director. And that's quite a juggling act to be the AD and also be a head coach. But we'll get into that a little bit too. But talk about how the college game and what you did at Lock Haven got you prepared.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had some great coaches there. Dennis Sorrell was the head coach when I first started playing there. Dennis was, a high-level assistant coach even after he left Lock Haven. Like, he was a defense coordinator at Army. He was a head coach a couple other places. He coached for a long time, even in the NFL a little bit. Then Nick Polk, who took over my senior year, Nick just up the 2 years ago was director of player personnel for the Falcons. Mm. When he left Lock Haven, he was a South Williamsport and a Lock Haven grad, and Peterson was the guy's last name. He's a Glendale grad, ironically, because that's where I started my teaching career. Peterson was a Glendale grad, and he was also the player personnel rep for NFL Europe, if you recall NFL Europe. So he was the Lock Haven grad also, and they were high school, or sorry, they were college roommates. And Nick went to spend some time with Mr. Peterson, and they ran NFL Europe a long time for the liaison between the NFL and NFL Europe.
Okay.
So they did that for a while. But those were great influences on me too. Great guys. Terry Such was another guy who had, great influence. They're just great coaches, great teachers. A great coach is a great teacher. You're able to teach by position, teach situations, those kind of things. I think I learned a ton from them, spending time with them in the office, and just learning. And like I said, I was someone who I knew I wanted to coach. Like, I knew I was gonna be going into phys ed, so I was there more than most people, just because of that. So,
sure.
I just loved it. I mean, I would, rather do that than go back to the apartment and hang out or whatever. So I spent a lot of time there learning a lot from those guys, but, it taught you a lot. Lock Haven traditionally didn't have a great program. We didn't win a lot of football games, but, being involved.
Definitely had a wrestling squad.
We had Kerry Colott was the national champion when I was there, and some other wrestlers that were, I think one year we sent half our team to the national tournament, Division I wrestling. So some good guys, really good school for that. And, field hockey, different things like that. It was a great experience. It was really a great experience for me. Being at Lock Haven and playing under those guys, and created some lifelong friends. Like I talked to you off the air, Nick and I have become great friends because of Lock Haven. We played together mm-hmm. there. Mark Harrington, played there with Mark too, who's a great friend of mine at Altoona now, was one of my assistants for a number of years. So just a lot of, a lot of people. Jason Grassi, I mentioned, he's a local high school coach. Just a lot of influence on us there. And, we carried that on. We talked about being cohesive and close-knit, that Mo Valley community. I mean, you there's a coaching fraternity as well. There's guys all across the state. I'm the executive director for the Pennsylvania Football Coaches Association as well, for the state association. So I manage a Western PA group of coaches. So, a lot of ties and a lot of connections in that coaching fraternity. I built a lot of those from Lock Haven.
Now, we'll get started on this, and we'll stop at a certain point that's logical and finish it up, because I think this will be a little bit of a long story about you and your involvement in football and sports in general. And that would be, okay, you get out of college. What's on your mind as to the first thing you want to do to apply what you've been learning, what you've experienced as a player, and all of that?
Yeah, so I'm sort of a weirdo possibly with this, but ever since I was like 10, I've had a playbook.
Okay.
And scrap paper or mm-hmm. whatever. And, I've been John plays and studying football on TV and sort of a junkie in that way. I had a whole notebook every year that I'd, you know, watch NFL games, college games growing up as a young kid. And I would just, you know, something I would see, draw it up. I wish we had ability to rewind the TV back when I was younger. I would have probably had a bigger playbook and some better stuff. But, you know, watching the game evolve, you know, as a player, you know, in college, you just learn so much more than you do in high school. You know, it's a minute playbook. You're running the system. But then when you go to college, it's expanded. And then, you know, when I was in college in the summers, I would go back and work with the quarterbacks, receivers, defensive backs in Mashana Valley. So I was sort of a volunteer in that aspect. And then when I graduated, I went, you know, in that when I was done playing in that November of 96, I went back. And like I mentioned, I helped coach those guys right away. I helped coach the team that went all the way to the state semifinal. And I was coaching the secondary, the skill guys, quarterbacks, things like that. And then that winter, you know, one of the greatest influences on me was a guy named Pat Pino. Pat Pino was the athletic director at Glendale. Pat Pino was the softball coach that led their team to, you know, numerous state playoff appearances in the early 90s. Pat was, you know, a great teacher as well. And, you know, there's a lot of turnover in the Glendale football program at that time. And I ran into Pat, and, you know, Pat had heard I was interested in getting into coaching. And, you know, we had a number of conversations. Pat ended up taking the head football coaching position at Glendale in 1997 and 98. And he had said right up front that, I'm going to do this for a couple years. I want you to come and help me out. So me, Mike Nanoski, who became a great friend of mine as well. Mike is a teacher and a coach at Purchase Line.
Okay.
He was, I played at Juniata College. So his connection of guys, Tom Terza was another guy that coached under Bill Lloyd in the 60s and 70s. Glendale football was very high-level programs. Bill Lloyd was the head coach. He was the phys ed teacher. And Bill Lloyd was getting ready to retire as a phys ed teacher as well. So, you know, Pat brought me on and right away sort of just threw me into the fire. Said, you got the offense, you got the defense, you know, whatever you want to do, go ahead kind of thing. And here I am,
wow,
you know, 23, 24 years old.
He gave you the keys.
But he was a great leader. Like, he was a great, great mentor for me. Like, he allowed me to fail. And you know, he coached me through it. And those are the things I, you know, I'll never forget. You know, his influence on me has been awesome. When I was in Corry, he had moved to Erie. Then his wife had passed away, so he moved back into town recently. And we had lunch, you know, late in the winter. So that's who got me my start. And then I coached at Glendale for a few years, and then John Kutz had got hired as the head coach after that. And I took Bill Lloyd's position as the phys ed teacher. And, you know, we had some great seasons there. And then John had come and became the head coach. And then I got the opportunity, my brother Dave, that I mentioned from 1982, undefeated team in Shenandoah Valley, he lived in Warren, PA. And he sent me a little advertisement from Corry High School that was looking for a head coach and a phys ed teacher. And, you know, my wife was at Slippery Rock at the time, and she was going to do her internship at Hammett Medical Center in Erie.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I took a chance on it. If you don't know Corry, it's in the snow belt. So
I
went up
is.
There in January, December 1 year, and I could not see the school when I was parked 10 yards away because there was so much snow in the way. And, you know, I put my head down and I walked in. And I seriously couldn't even see what was going on. It was a blizzard. And the only thing I regret there is I left my wife sitting in the car for about a 45-minute interview. And I went in and interviewed a couple of times. They called me back up. And then, you know, a really big influence on me. I got hired as a phys ed teacher January of 2000. John Wilson, again, AD, head football coach, you know, had a great influence on me. And he hired me as an assistant coach. And John was coming back after 11 years and then had like a 5-year hiatus and was coming back as the head coach. And John, you know, John gave me a new perspective because John was, you know, similar to what Howie was like defensively. They ran, you know, we ran a 5-2, which most schools back in the 80s and 90s ran a 5-2 monster defense, right?
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot about that. aspect of it. You know, in college, I was able to run, you know, more of an even pro style type defense, college defense. So, you know, I had a lot of experiences because of all that stuff, how we ran the eye. So they're just, all this stuff was just building, if you can picture it, over the years into like what I wanted to, what I wanted to do, what I wanted my identity to be, you know, as a coach. And those guys are, you know, they're high character guys. They're great husbands. They're just everything you could, you know, you could ask for in a mentor. And those guys were in the ADs as well. So I saw firsthand of what, you know, what that it was like with organization, being able to coach, you know, a lot of different things there. So I was able to be under John for 2 years, and then I end up in 2002, got my first head coaching job at just age 28.
Not bad.
Corey High School.
Not bad. We'll continue Homer's trail to where he is today. It is Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger, and it's brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Truck Series race recap from Richmond. Ty Majeski survived a late race restart with about 8 laps to go and held on for the win.
Well, you never want to see the caution driving away, leading the race with 10 to go, because these truck races get exciting. And Grant tried to clear me off of 2 when I was still there. So it got a little bit exciting down the back stretch and into 3, but thankfully we were able to hold on. Man, the left front fender was so close to cutting that left front tire down. I was smelling it throughout the last 4 or 5 laps. I'm like, man, just hold on. So thankfully it did. It just played out right tonight. You know, I feel like there's some races that we lost. Martinsville and Darlington are the two that come to mind where we were, you know, winning. Probably had the race in hand, and then late race caution came out. And in this case, I thought the 11 was going to win. He, you know, played some strategy. I don't think he figured he had a chance to win the way that he did. So he came in, put tires on, was going to win the race, and we get a caution with about 28 to go. And obviously, we put tires on. That's a huge advantage. So the cautions fell our way tonight. It doesn't always go that way. So when they do, you have to take advantage of it.
It's Ty's second win in a row this season. Christian Eckes was second, followed by Tyler Gray, Grant Enfinger, and Laney Riggs rounds out the top 5. Regular season point standings has Corey Heim with 5 wins, leading Christian Eckes with 3 wins by only 3 points. Up next for the NASCAR Truck Series is the Milwaukee Mile, going down Sunday, August 25th at 4 p.m. Eastern on FS1. This is the final lap.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats, too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Hank FM.
Welcome back to Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger this week. getting to know some of our high school football coaches a little bit better as the week progresses. And today, Homer DeLatry is graciously sharing his story because I think each one of you guys as head coaches have a definite interesting story to tell. We were at the point where you took over at Corey, and I think you were about to make a move there after your tenure at Corey. You wanted to move on to something else.
Yeah, so I got the Corey in 2002, and there was a number of, I think, six or seven losing seasons in a row, and we started out in the same fashion, and then in 2006, we were able to, get over the hump and get a winning record. 4 years later, we had school record in number of wins. And, at that time, family starts to play a big factor in things. I have four children. They were all younger. My wife is working at Hammett Medical Center, good job, exercise physiologist at the hospital. And then, it's got to a point where there wasn't a lot of family around. Like I mentioned, my brother, but he has his young kids, and then he's, he has a lot of things going on about 30 minutes away, but, it really became increasingly difficult to be over 3 hours away from our families. And probably 2008 or 9, I started, there was no negative things going on at Corey or anything.
Yeah.
It was just a situation where, if a phys ed job or a football head coaching position had come open, I had, tried to come back home, basically, mm-hmm. to come back closer. So, a number of opportunities there, some situations where they, able to be interested in hiring me as the coach, but the positions weren't set, as far as me being able to do that. But, finally got very grateful and blessed with the opportunity to beat Hollidaysburg in 2013. In that situation there, Bob Gilday was the athletic director at the time. And he was also transitioning into being the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And so in April, I was able to come to Hollidaysburg in 2013 and start this journey.
Now, one of the things, in talking about Corey, and Nick and I had this discussion last night as well, there's the idea of culture as far as, a program goes. And with football, one of the things that I've been happy to hear from every coach I've talked to is when you get there, yes, you're there to coach the high school team, but you also realize that your future is sitting out there too. Mm-hmm. And you need to reach out to that future and get involved in back to elementary school if there's an elementary program, mm-hmm. to get those kids kind of used to what your theories and the way you'd like to see football played. I will never forget the transition from junior high to senior high that we had when I was in school and how many of the players from my junior high didn't play at high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, how can that happen? Because we were an undefeated junior high team. And then not everybody played for the high school, and it was like, what the heck is going on? Mm-hmm. You hate to, but that goes back in those days, this idea of culture, I don't think was quite what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that it takes time to build that up. It's, you look at all college coaches, all you ever have to do is look at them and say, what are they doing in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Because technically what you've done, now the transfer portal has made things a lot different, but technically you inherit a team that you didn't have anything to do with. And because you're a good coach, obviously, depending on the level that you're at in college, you're a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you're working with people that maybe didn't necessarily fit in with your plan for what a team should be doing. And now you have to make that, you have to start building your team the way you want it to be. So when you hire a head football coach at the college level, for certain, you got 4 years. It's like you don't see what they're capable of for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know what, this is the guy, this is the way he does things. Now we know who we have as a head coach. A little bit different in high school, but there's still that aspect of it. When you come in at high school, there's still that process that you have to go through establishing what your culture is, what your ideas are for the team, and how you want the guys to be.
Yeah, I mean, everything's usually different. Like a lot of times in high school, you'll see the assistant coach move into the head coaching position, and there's not a lot of transition needed or not a lot of culture change needed. And, you know, there's little culture things probably within that, especially if it's a successful program. But for the most part, if you're coming as an outsider into the program, you know, it's very important to establish that. Like, culture is the most important part. Culture creates cohesiveness. Culture creates team. And when you're coming in and installing a whole new system, you know, that's even more, a little bit more difficult. Because if you're a college coach, you know, you come in and put your system in. Like I mentioned in college, like we had a guy who came in to run an offense with no tight end or fullback was on the roster. Really? So he had to take his offense and, you know, what his thoughts were, his coordinator. You know, he didn't want to go hire a coordinator with a quarterback and all receivers and a couple running backs. Like, he had to go get tight ends. He had to go get – and it's no different than, seeing what your personnel is at first, those first few years, and see what you have coming up. I think, when I came here, one of the first things I did is I talked to the past players. I talked to the past players about the program. I talked to the current players about the program. You know, like you said, I try to get involved right away in the HAFA program. And, you know, to the point, and after a couple years, you know, we started running the same playbook that we ran in junior high. And, you know, I wasn't kind of coming in and doing that right away. Because obviously it was April already in the first place. I was just trying to get some plays that we could run on Friday nights in the fall. But, you know, after that period of time, I was able to, you know, in our varsity assistants had kids. And I think the biggest benefit of our program growing over the years is, like, all the coaches on my staff have young players. And all those young players are coming through the youth football program. And all those coaches, they would leave our practice and go down and coach at the elementary level. So, you know, they took that culture, they took what we were trying to build at the varsity level, and they were taking it down into the youth football level. So, you know, in time, over a six-year period of time, you get those kids as fourth graders. And now, you know, now you have them as varsity players. So they're hearing the same thing from fifth grade until they leave the program. So that continuity, you know, was a huge factor.
Absolutely.
In that. And, you know, the assistant coaches that I have on the varsity level or had, you know, they've all been a big, huge part of, you know, establishing that culture all the way down. And not that it's easy, you know, but whether it's terminology or just how we practice or, you know, the tempo of practice or, you know, how we do things, so to speak, is, you know, it's all new. And it was probably new from the junior. A lot of times it's new from junior high to senior high as a high school kid. But if you can keep that continuity, like, here's how we're warming up. These are the five drills we're warming up with. So fourth graders are warming up that way. Seniors are warming up that way. And we run our youth camp in the summer. You know, the same warm-up is done all the way through the program. So there's continuity.
When they get to high school, they say, this is how you play football.
It's automatic. Yeah. It's automatic. So, you know, it's like flipping a switch. You know, you know it's going to – you don't have to say, go get lined up and get warmed up. And they're already warming up. They're already warming up. So that's part of the culture. Like, you want players to be accountable, but you also want players to take ownership. And, you know, you can't fine line them in everything you do. Eventually in real life, it's not going to be that way.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to fail, and they're going to need someone to be up the rear end once in a while. They're going to need peace of quiet, you know, and there's going to be different parts and different aspects of that. And, you know, and I think our program does a good job of that, you know, building that culture and maintaining that culture. Not that it wasn't there before, it was. It's just, you know, putting your own spin on it.
Yeah.
Put your own spin on it, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the other thing that you have to do, too, is you're juggling being – and I would not want to be the athletic director anywhere and also be a head coach of any of the programs because you have enough juggling to keep your program going, let alone throw in the additional responsibilities of an AD on top of it. It just, I don't know how you do it. It's a mountain of things that you have to take care of.
Yeah. I mean, it's number one, support a family. I mean, you know, my wife's a saint, you know, she's very supportive. I mean, she understands it. She's understand it since, you know, we met. She knew who I was, and she knew what she was getting involved in, I guess, so to speak. But, you know, she was an athlete herself. She knows, you know, and it takes that support group. Like, you're only as strong as those around you. You know, the assistant coaches that I have, or they could all be, you know, almost all those guys could be head coaches somewhere and be very successful.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. They're great coaches. You know, they're great people. They're great employees at their workplace. They're great fathers. They're great husbands. You see it every day. And that's what our program's built on. And, you know, I mentioned it from HAFA all the way through to junior high. You know, there's no doubt that, you know, our culture is very cohesive in our coaching staff. And, you know, as the athletic director, I don't have to worry about them starting practice for 15 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, them in charge of special teams in some aspect, or running the defense, or, you know, their position. Like, there's no micromanaging of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, on top of that, we have great coaches at Hollidaysburg. Like, we have coaches who 100% care about their kids. The kids, we have, you know, coaches who are great teachers. You know, great coaches are great teachers, like I said. And, you know, there's a lot of concern with those kind of things. They're hardworking. You know, they're very respectful. They've all had their own programs, you know, that, you know, I would like to think, like, some of those programs that help put their own spin on by, you know, being there for them, you know, being a good leader for them. You know, we're winning a minimum of 5 district titles a year. You know, people say that's skewed a little bit because we don't have a lot of teams to play in our leagues or in our district championship games. But, you know, if you look at our state playoff, you know, success in some sports over the years, our girls basketball team has been to the state quarterfinal numerous times. Our baseball team, you know, we just have a good, I really think we have a really good group of people. We have a good support system in our high school.
You have nice facilities, yep, too.
We've got nice facilities. So there's a lot of things that are just, you know, that make it work, that make my job easier than maybe some people think it is. I mean, organization, you know, tasks and all those things. I'm an early riser, and, you know, I get there early and I stay late. You know, that's been my deal for sure.
Once again, a tip of the cap to the wife.
Yeah. yeah, raising 4 children, pretty much. But, you know, now that they're participating with us, it's nice to have them.
Yeah.
They're playing too.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back and wrap up and talk a little bit about this year's football team and what's in store for the Golden Tigers of Hollidaysburg. It is Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger. And we will, by the way, thanks to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars for being the sponsor of the Sports Central show. And I do want to mention, and we also get support from Pleasant Valley Recreation Center, Mike's Sports Shop, and Mattis Motorsports. Back to wrap up today's show after this on 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at Boswell Pipes. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risen Kizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Back with our final segment of Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger this week. Joined by Homer DeLautre, head coach of the Hollidaysburg Golden Tiger football team and also the athletic director at Hollidaysburg High School. Season is rapidly approaching. Next week, it all gets underway in earnest as you will be at Mansion Park to take on Altoona. And that's become a really great rivalry over the years now is that game. And, you know, you've had your share of really good performances in that game, your team.
Yeah, I think it's the seventh year we've played now since we left the WPL. And, you know, it's always a great atmosphere, a great crowd, and, you know, when Nick was the coach and when Vince was the coach now, you know, we often talk about just how exciting it is for Hollidaysburg and Altoona or Blair County. Like, mm-hmm. It's just so exciting. And it was so cool back when there was the Tyrone, Bellwood, Hollidaysburg, Altoona game.
Yep.
The week, first game of the year.
Yeah. And
there's nothing more exciting in Blair County in that like 5 year period of time when those games were going on in the county. And, you know, it's great for both programs. You know, it's what you work for. You know, they're the same as us. Like, you know, when we get in the weight room the first day of December, you know, the number goes on the board and it counts down until we're down to 10 or whatever we're down to now. So, you know, every day it's talked about. Like, we were at practice today and, you know, we were on a short break and the guys just got to the middle. And I could just hear them talking, like, away from the coaches, and they were just, like, waiting for the next drill to go, and they're breaking. All I hear in there is Altoona this, Altoona that, Altoona this, Altoona that. And I'm sure, you know, it's definitely no different from, you know, their kids.
Sure.
You know, very excited. We had we tried to do some like, just fun things, and I was going through the youth football HAFA touch sheet. And Julian Hazelwood, who's one of their running backs, he was, like, the second and touched the ball the second most in the league that year or something like that. And, you know, he's now on the other team. So he played with a lot of our guys. So it was just fun. You know, a lot of Altoona talk today.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. You have five games at home. They're kind of clumped together. Got September 6th and 13th, and then you kind of dominate the whole month of October at home, which isn't a bad thing. And you wrap up at Dubois, but you know, getting back to this, trying to put a schedule together in your class, Alderdice is a new team, you know, and then you have Mifflinburg. So you have some nice little hikes that you'll be taking. By the way, the big question I always have, do you take a cheese bus or do you get a coach?
Well, anything over 85 miles,
okay.
Yeah, we get a charter. So okay. Anyway, we lucked into the Alderdice game because Altoona would always play Alderdice during that week,
mm-hmm.
if you recall. I mean, that was on their schedule for a lot of years, and they would always come to Mansion and play. And, you know, Phil was at a meeting in State College AD who we always play state college this year, we're not playing them. And the Mid-Penn made the decision at a meeting to increase the number of league games or enlarge their leagues.
Okay.
And then so right away, Phil had lost that game. And state college had called and said, hey, we can't play you. And at the same time, Phil's calling me saying, hey, you know, this is happening, you know, whatever. You're going to lose state college. So all in like a 20-minute period of time, Phil's telling me, call Alderdice because I'm losing Alderdice. State college is dropping us. So I call Alderdice, and in 20 minutes I had the game. So just the communication between Phil and the AD at state college and, you know, Jerry Hazlett, unfortunately, who just passed away, the head coach at Alderdice, he just passed away last month. You know, we were able to, within a 20-minute period of time, get that game scheduled. Mifflinburg's new. We play a few teams. If you see, you'll see Ceilings Grove, Williamsport, mm-hmm. Jersey Shore,
yeah.
Number 2 ranked team in the preseason in 4A. Ceilings Grove was in the state semifinals last year in 4A. Too. So, you know, we played some of those teams. They're all out of the Pennsylvania Heartland Conference. So we were able to pick up a series of games from those teams this year, too.
We wish you all the best. And of course, your games will be heard on Hank FM.
Yes.
Awesome. The very same station that you're on right now. Hey, good luck this season. We'll get into more X's and O's and talk about all your right. players coming
Thank
up
you.
Here with the High School
it.
Football Coaches Show. I just thought it's you know, sometimes you're just a figure on the sideline and people don't know what it took to make that figure what he is today. And that's why I wanted to do this with coaches this week.
So, I really appreciate it.
All right. We will talk to you again in about a week, as a matter of fact.
Right.
All right. Thanks again, Homer Delantre. Good luck this season and catch up with you again. Yeah. You're listening to Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Dave Shannon sitting in for Corey. And up next, it is Black and Gold Breakdown. Thanks for listening tonight. I'm going to stick around for Black and Gold as well.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM, WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM, Roaring Spring, Altoona, a service of Leitner Communications.
From the long arm of the law.